Welcome to Overdue. I'm Miss Watts, your Annex Librarian.
And I'm Coach Hill, your main building librarian. In today's episode, we'll sit down with the director of our local public library, and we'll talk a little bit about the wildfires in the western part of our country. But first, let's dust off the cover of some books being read right now here at White House High School.
All right, today we want to dig into some texts that would go along with or follow some of the pieces that our students are reading in class. We're going to start with our sophomore English class, who would be reading To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee. So we do have that in a graphic novel form by Fred Fordham. And then we've got the sequel to that called Go Set a Watchman. So if you really enjoyed To Kill a Mockingbird and you want to see what happens next with Scout, then you might want to check out the sequel. An unrelated book but has similar theme is Ralph Ellison's Invisible Man. So this text follows an unnamed man as he goes through life feeling invisible as a black man in America. So kind of timely too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Our freshman English classes right now, we're reading Fahrenheit 451. By Ray Bradbury. And frankly, it was a little difficult to find even one book that we had available for checkout that was in some way related to that book.
Yeah.
But we settled on The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood. And just to be frank, you know, the one connection that we could find here between The Handmaid's Tale and Fahrenheit 451 was that both kind of deal with appreciating our freedoms.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, absolutely.
If that's something from Fahrenheit 451 that speaks to you, then The Handmaid's Tale might be a good book for you to pick up. We also have the graphic novel adaptation of Fahrenheit 451, and we talked, was it the last episode? We talked about having graphic novels in our collection that kind of go along with the books that are being read in our school. So this is one that we do have the corresponding graphic novel for, if that's something that interests you.
Yeah. Or if it would just help you understand the text better while you're in class. Sometimes you just need to see it differently. So for our senior English class, they would be reading Beowulf right now. And we actually have a book called Grendel by John Gardner. I think this is kind of really cool. It's from the perspective of the terrifying monster in the book, Beowulf.
That is cool.
Yeah,
that is cool.
Yeah. And then we've also got the graphic novel of Beowulf by Gareth Hines, who is a really popular graphic novel.
At least for these classics,
author.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. He's like got a monopoly on
right?
these books. He's killing it.
And so like all three of those, we have a graphic novel for.
We do.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is cool. We don't have one for this last one I'm going to talk about, which is All the Light We Cannot See by Anthony Doerr, which is being read in our AP Lit class here at school. This is a book I read 3 or 4 years ago. Great book. I mean, I'll talk about one that's related to it here in a second, but just on its own, a fantastic story. It's a World War II story, and the book is written with different plots from – or not different plots, but from the perspective of a couple of different characters from different countries in the war. And then ultimately as the book, you know, starts to come to a close, their paths cross, of course, because otherwise what would be the point? But anyways, their paths cross. And it's just a really good book. It's a really good book that I can recommend on its own. But we also have on the shelf, kind of related, is the Tattooist of Auschwitz by Heather Morris. And similarly, of course, it's a novel set in World War II. But also similarly, it has characters from opposite sides of the war that whose paths ultimately cross, and just a good parallel title to go along with All the Light We Cannot See, if that's a book that you enjoy reading. And I most certainly did enjoy reading that book. So 4 books being read in our school right now with some titles that go along with them. If you're interested in any of those or you want to see maybe if we have something else, feel free to stop by and see one of us in either library, and we'll definitely point you in the right direction. But now it's time for us to sit down and have a chat with our local public library director.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, stay tuned. So we're excited to be here on location at the White House Public Library in White House, Tennessee. And we're joined today with the director of the White House Public Library, Miss Elizabeth Kozlowski. Am I saying that right?
That is correct.
All right. Thank you so much for sitting down with us today. Yes. This is fun. Yes.
Thank you for having me.
And we thought that this would be a good time to come to the public library because September is Library Card Sign-Up Month. So considering that, before we get into kind of our quote-unquote real questions, can you just talk about what our kids need to do if they want to come sign up for Library Card?
Sure. So actually, the application is all online. Okay. So you can do it here. We have computers available for you to sign up on the online software here at our library or at home on your phone, on your tablet, what have you. Once you sign up, then you just come in and we give you the card and you're good to go.
Awesome.
So it's not that hard and it's pretty simple. Just a few questions that we need. And then as soon as you put it in, it comes to our computer and we get you going.
Okay. Is that on your website?
It is on our website. Okay. Yes. Cool. So.
And that gives you access to
pretty much everything.
Everything you'll offer,
everything,
right?
Yeah. Yes. So books, e-books, e-audiobooks, board games, puzzles, cool. Everything that we have.
And I know we're going to ask you a little bit later about the e-books and audiobooks because that's something that we don't really have in our collections that much and we haven't put a ton of effort into.
Right.
Partly because we know that here at the public library that it is offered.
Yes.
So
right.
With our limited budgets, this doesn't seem like we need to put our money there when it's right here down the road for the kids or, you know, electronically right on their phone. So
absolutely.
Okay. So before we get into more details about the library, can you just tell us what you're reading and whether you enjoy it or not or what it's about? Or
I know I'm kind of in between two books and one of them is a fantasy and it's called Storm Siren. And I'm not sure if I really am pleased with the way it's going. So I kind of started reading a historical fiction called The Ballad of Frankie Silver. So that one I think is going a little bit better for pace. So like I said, I kind of read a mix.
Okay.
Because I got the fantasy and the historical going at the same time.
I think that's pretty impressive, actually. I don't manage two very different genres well at once.
Well, I guess because they're so different in storyline, it's easy to keep track of what's going on.
That makes sense.
So actually, I'm kind of in between the two right now. So it just depends what am I in the mood for tonight.
Yeah.
Fantasy or fiction.
Right.
Which one historical? Are you enjoying more? Right,
I'm kind of thinking the historical fiction a little bit just because maybe it's going at a faster pace, believe it or not, just because you're finding out all the details, whereas the fantasy one, I'm kind of at the middle where it's just like all the talking and explaining going on. I'm like, okay, get to the action already.
Yeah.
So that's when I get through that, it will probably pick up and be better. But so right now, the historical fiction, actually, I'm kind of enjoying the progress of learning about the people. So.
I'm always so hesitant to grab historical fiction because in my own mind, I just have this stigma, or if that's the right word, that I'm about to read like a Civil War story or something. And it's just not that. I mean, it can be that, but it's such a broad genre.
Yes.
But in my own mind, I have it so narrowed that I need to somehow step away from
that. Well, and maybe because I have my history degree for my undergrad degree, I like to then, after I'm done reading the historical fiction, go research the actual history to see how well the author actually researched it. That's something I really like to do afterwards.
That's cool.
That is really
cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what led you to this role as director of the library?
Yes. So, of course, you already said my name's Elizabeth Kozlowski. I've been here for about 8 years now as a director. Before that, I was working part-time at a library down in Tullahoma. And I was working there when I was doing my bachelor degree, just part-time, just to have a little income to help pay for college. And when I finished my bachelor's degree in history, I was like, you know, I don't really know what job I can get with a history degree other than teaching. And I was like, I really, really enjoyed my work at the library.
Oh, cool.
So I said, I think I'm going to go ahead and make that my career. So I went on and got my master's, and that's what led to this job. So I think it really worked that just trying to get a little extra income led me to my career path and what I really wanted to be in life.
Yes.
So yeah, I really think that job experience and job shadowing and doing some things while you're in college is going to help you figure out where you actually want to go in life.
Absolutely.
So
that's such a good example for our students who maybe are working part-time and don't have a really good idea of where they want to go in the future, but just the experience of being on job can show you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really cool story.
So how about here at the library? Could you tell us and tell our listeners a little bit about what's offered for kind of that high school age group, whether it be study spaces or printing mm-hmm. services mm-hmm. or and then maybe even a little bit more specifically, like you mentioned, the audiobooks and the ebooks mm-hmm. that you can get with your library card, right. How they can access those. Because like I said, we don't really offer that to right. our kids.
Right.
Not necessarily because we don't want to, but, you know, there's budget constraints. And right. again, like I said, we know that they're here. So if you could describe that process, that'd be right. awesome.
So even if they don't have a library card, we offer a lot here that they can use just the services. So the study spaces. Now with COVID, we have the table spread out
sure.
and the spacing spread out a little different. So right now we're kind of asking no more than four groups of four at a table and sure. things like that. The study rooms that we have, they can check them out even without a library card.
Oh, great.
And it's a room that's closed off, so they can actually have a louder conversation if they're doing group work. And we do have teens come in to use the study rooms for group projects and yeah. things like that. So lots of study space, actually. A lot, even though we kind of have some furniture pulled,
sure.
we still have a lot of tables and chairs set out. And we have the individual carrels, too. So if they want to sit on their laptops or phone, and we have plugs on those individual carrels so they can plug in their devices and not worry about the battery dying while they're doing their work. Then the prints, too. They don't have to have a library card to print. They can print mobily with their phones, or they can get on one of our computers and print. So
how
we offer
work?
Both.
How does the mobile printing work?
So the mobile printing, they do have to have whatever they're trying to print downloaded
okay.
because they upload the file to our mobile printing service.
Okay.
Once they upload it, they hit print. They can pay with a credit card. If they're going to pay with cash, we put in a code so it goes through, and then they give us the cash
okay.
at the front desk. So they can pay either way and print with that. So that is something that I think has started to be used a bit more since more kids are using their phones to do homework. So it's not that hard. And again, if they need help to make sure they get the item downloaded to their phone so then they can upload it, we can help them with that.
Sure.
So those are a lot of the kind of inside things. And the Wi-Fi, we offer free Wi-Fi. They don't even have to come in the building. It actually extends to the parking lot.
Oh, wow.
So if they want to sit in the parking lot after hours and connect and do stuff
oh,
on their phones
great.
Or laptops,
that's so useful.
They can
yeah.
do that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, and in our patio space, we're redoing that outside. We're going to add plugs out there too. So
oh, cool.
they can sit
oh,
outside
cool.
and plug in too.
Such a good time of year for
yes.
that too, to be outside mm-hmm. reading or working or whatever.
Exactly.
Absolutely. That's awesome that they can come in after hours, you know, especially if they work or
right.
being in school.
Right.
Cool. Well, what events or programming do you guys currently offer for teenagers, or do you have anything new coming up? Anything you wish you could offer?
So we already had, what we call our Tuesday Teens.
Okay.
It's that Tuesday at 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of alternated what we do each week. So like the first week is our creative writing. The second week we do a sewing club.
Cool.
And then the third week we do a drawing class.
Cool.
And then the fourth week is normally a finishing up of our sewing, because most of the time our sewing projects takes 2 weeks
sure,
to finish
sure.
them up.
Yeah.
Now with COVID, we had to adjust, but we're actually still offering them.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of still meet on the patio so we can spread out. Everybody has their own clipboard for creative writing and for drawing. And we have a big pad that we take out to help them see the lessons for the drawing lessons. The sewing, we've gone to all hand sewing because we used to have sewing, or we still have sewing machines.
Right.
We used to set the sewing machines up and teach them how to sew on the sewing machines. But with COVID, we can't have everybody touching the same device.
Mm-hmm.
So we've went to hand sewing projects. So now they each get their own baggie with everything they need, and we show them the instructions, and they sew it on the patio outside. So
that's
we're
really
still,
cool.
yeah, we're still offering all those.
It's fun to see the, you know, as terrible as the pandemic is, it's fun, you know, whether it's school and we're talking about teaching, or whether here in your programming,
mm-hmm.
it's fun to see how solutions oriented everyone has been to
mm-hmm.
to still offer these kind of fun things
exactly.
for the teenage group.
Yes,
absolutely.
So. And then as far as, you know, things we like to offer, we had to cancel it this year because of COVID. During our summer kickoff, this was our fandom con.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of mm-hmm. like a mini comic con. And, that has lots of panels, lots of events, and that was a lot of fun. Teens really like it. And I think it would be nice if we could offer more of those types of programs throughout the whole year, like the
sure.
video game competitions and things like that, to have more of a mix. But that one, that's a little harder, so that's something we kind of just do once a year to at least get some of that in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a neat thing to be able to work
mm-hmm.
into your
regular programs, right, though, and a lot of students would enjoy that too.
So all the things that are offered and all the spaces that you have, tell us what you think is your most enjoyable part about working here at the White House Public Library.
Well, and I know you would think it was the space, but I kind of really enjoy the community.
Yeah.
Because they have been really receptive to how we've handled COVID. Like, we thought we might get a lot of complaints because we've had to close down and different things. But we still offered so much even while we were closed, like the mobile printing. We would let them print mobily because they could be outside. And then mm-hmm. we'd put the prints in the lobby and let them come in and pick it up. So we still – and the lobby pickups we would do, if they wanted to put a book on hold, they could put the book on hold. And then we'd put them in the lobby and they could come pick it up. So we still offered a lot. But we had to, you know, really close down a lot too. And I was just really surprised at how well the community was receptive to it.
Yeah.
And not really complaining or upset, and just really thanked us that we tried.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that might be one of my favorite things. And again, I worked at other libraries too, and some in the academic when I was doing my master's. And I, like I said, I really kind of like the community and just how well it all works. And again, how receptive they are to how we changed the programs and mm-hmm. how they're still coming, and the teens came back, and it wasn't like everybody just left and we were a ghost library.
Right.
So. Absolutely. I really think that's one of my favorite parts, is just, again, dealing with the community and how well they work with us and how well they enjoy the library.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's nice to have a library, but if the community isn't behind you, it's kind of, what's the point? Because we're here for the public. We're a little different than the schools. We're here for the public. If the public isn't satisfied with us, then kind of what's the point of us being here?
Yeah.
So that's probably one of my favorite things, is just helping the public, working with the public, and how well the public responds to what we do here.
Yeah, think back to the old library building and just where it is today.
Yes.
And you're talking about the community. I think this space and y'all services have added a lot to the community. And it's a cool thing to think back on.
Yeah, and I think, again, because that was my second thing, would probably be the new building. It was my second favorite part. Mm-hmm. But that kind of spanned from the community saying, we need a new library.
Yeah.
This isn't cutting it anymore.
Yeah.
So they really kind of helped push that along, too, that, hey, we want a new building. And because, yes, we did not have near as many programs
mm-hmm.
for teens and kids and adults that we do now. We didn't have study spaces. We didn't have the spots for the computer lab, the Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. Half of that, you know, wasn't even there. And probably would never have been there just because of the space limitations.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I really do enjoy the new building, too, mm-hmm. and what we can offer. So,
and y'all have been so intentional about how you've used it to to reach our community. It's really cool. Really neat. So we are from White House High School. What ways could we strengthen the partnership between the high school library and you guys?
Well, one thing we're trying to do, and I don't think it's happened just yet, is we're trying to make it a little even easier for you guys to use the ebooks and the audiobooks for your students.
Cool.
So one thing we're trying to do is, even if they don't have a library card, they should still be able to access the ebooks and the audiobooks with their student ID.
Okay.
So we're working on that with the Reads program.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, if they can't come in and get that physical card, like even if they can fill it out online, but parents can't bring them in to get that physical card, they can still check out those ebooks and audiobooks.
Mm-hmm.
So that partnership is in the works. I think we're really close to making it happen.
Yeah.
It just hasn't quite yet. I think we're still waiting on the background for the system to get everything processed.
That would be
but
a really neat
that would be
And would that
nice...
all happen through the Libby app?
It would let you use the Libby app,
okay.
Yes.
What other I don't know what the right phrase is here, ways to access those things besides, I'm only familiar with Libby, so I'm not sure how else you would get to it.
I mean, the Libby app, yes, you need to download Libby and then you can use it. It's the one we mainly use, the Reads, R-E-A-D-S.
Okay.
And that's through the state, and the Libby app works with Reads.
Okay.
And so basically you're checking out the things that we have on there and the state has on there. So not everything we have on there is what we own. Some of it's state-owned, some of it's other libraries that own it.
Okay.
We can all put into that. So, like I said, right now they need the library card to download books or ebook or audiobooks.
Which is still free, though.
It's still free.
No cost.
There's no cost for a card. But eventually they should be able to use their student ID and download
That'd
those.
That'd be awesome, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And even just I was thinking as you were talking about your Comic-Con that you do. I mean, that's something easy for us to promote, you know, in our libraries and in our buildings. Because there's a number of kids that, would totally be interested in it, and, mm-hmm. and maybe they just don't know. Right. So even just
simple things like that would be great. You know? I know that the middle school let me come in and speak on that.
Yeah.
And our whole summer reading program. Oh, we'd love to have you out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that would be great, too, if we could start getting to all the schools. And that would be another great partnership to send, hey, here's what our flyers are. Here's what we have going on this week or this month. And then, like I said, even though the Fandom Con probably appeals more to teens, but that is kind of the kickoff to summer reading, too. So if we wanted to promote, hey, in the summer there's stuff for you to do with reading, that's still neat and fun and not necessarily – feeling so school homework related, if that makes sense.
Well, I think we're going to finish up here with one more question. Before we do, we just want to say thank you for having us here and welcoming us in and answering some questions. Sure. And, you know, I'm super familiar. My oldest daughter's four. And so we've been here plenty, but we go straight back to the children's library. So hearing about the things available for our age group of students at the high school. I mean, I knew that there were things here, but just hearing you say that, it's a long list of things.
We have a room just for them. That's the teen room.
Right. Yeah. And we're going to take some pictures and post them on our social media. So keep an eye out for that.
Next. So we have one question that we like to ask our guests. What is your preference, coffee or tea?
Tea.
Tea?
Oh, yeah.
Any particular
kind?
Peppermint is a big one for me, and green tea with ginger.
Okay.
So.
Nice.
I have lots of teas.
Well, thanks again for having us. Students, teachers, come see us for some coffee in the annex or the main library anytime we're open. We're going to finish up this episode and take the last sip.
So to close out today, we wanted to bring a little bit of attention to the devastating wildfires currently happening out in the western part of our country. Just a few quick facts here from NPR. Millions of acres have been burned, at least 30 people are dead, and hundreds of thousands of people have been evacuated. You know, you see the news, you see the pictures, it's shocking, it's terrifying. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, too, you know, this... even in recent history, this isn't the first time that this has happened. Mm-hmm. It's crazy to see. And it's just so sad. It's just so sad.
It is sad.
So to finish up, we each have picked a book here that we're going to talk about that is in some way related to what's going on out there. So I chose Those Who Wish Me Dead by Michael Corita. This is a thriller that opens up with a teenage boy that witnesses a murder in the very beginning of the book. And so from there, he's kind of put into a kind of like a witness protection program thing. And he ends up going to like this like wilderness camp out in the mountains. And of course, it's a thriller. So there has to be some thrill. Mm-hmm. So the thrill is that the murderers from the beginning of the book, of course, are on the hunt for him because he witnessed the murder.
Right.
So he's kind of on the run while at this wilderness camp from the murderers. But then while that's all happening, a forest fire starts, a wildfire starts. And so not only is he trying to kind of escape these murderers, but in the meantime, he's also trying to escape, and everyone else in the book, of course, escape the wildfire that's happening. So it's a really good book, and it really is a thriller, man. It's really a page turner. It's been a few years since I've read it, but it's just a good book.
It sounds interesting.
Yeah. And it goes quick, man. Like it's action packed, you know, in a number of ways, but that's Those Who Wish Me Dead by Michael Corita.
So I chose a historical fiction novel. It's called Uprising by Margaret Haddix. And this is actually about a fire from many, many years back, from the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire in 1911. So this novel centers on one of the workers, as she recalls those terrible working conditions that led to a strike and eventually the fire that took the lives of her best friends and then many, many others. And so it kind of digs into that tragedy and just the broader effect of it or the deeper effect
and
of it.
And it's a novel, it's fiction?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Cool. So it's a fictional novel based on that true event. So,
gotcha.
So really interesting perspective. But yeah, I think.
That'd be cool too to, you know, when we were sitting down with the library director at the public library, mm-hmm. she was talking about how when she when she reads historical fiction, she likes to go back afterwards and like research to see how accurate the history was. That'd be cool to do with that one.
That's so true. That's a great idea. But that's all we have for today. So it's going to be time for us to check out. Please don't forget to follow us at BDP_library on both Twitter and Instagram for library updates, news, and giveaways, and tell a friend about us.
Yeah. And be sure to check back with us every other Wednesday for the next episode of Overdue. Make time to read. Thanks for listening.